Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
10. And away we KGO go. Here's Conan O'Brien on Colin Powell's junior high remarks about the Republican candidates.
Colin Powell said recently that the Republican candidates are playing junior high school tricks on one another. Powell then excused himself to take a call from someone looking for Dick Hertz.
Oh, my God. Well, that would be Hulk Hogan today. Yeah, he's the one talking about his penis, not so much Donald Trump. Speaking of penises,
are you talking about? Well,
no, looking at you. I want to talk about Trump, and John Lobertini's in here with me and Brian Pelletier. So how's Trump doing tonight?
All right, so here's the latest. Primaries. There were four Republican primaries tonight and two Democratic ones. Trump won both Michigan and Mississippi. And Idaho belongs to Ted Cruz at this point. They haven't called the state of Idaho yet. And then Hawaii, the polls closed for the Republicans at 10 p.m.
And Bernie took Michigan.
Took Michigan in a squeaker. It was very close
it was
with Clinton
crazy
in Michigan.
Close.
That's 127 delegates.
That's a big take.
That's a bunch. I don't know if it's a winner-take-all state, but that's a nice get.
It is not. Mississippi, Hillary
took that.
Hillary won Mississippi big.
Not much going on there. Mm-hmm. I mean, really, right. Population-wise.
She gets 41 out of a possible 96 delegates out of those two states.
Wow.
You know, and Bernie's saying, hey, what happened in Michigan is a sign that this campaign is still alive.
It is. It is with that deal, that's for sure. Okay, we'll continue to monitor that. John Lobertini in here. What's going on with the crazy drivers? And then you have a great story about the, you know, CHP.
All right. Do you want to start with the live news crew that
from KTVU
had to do some tap dancing?
Right.
Well, we just talked about this story. We've been talking about it all night. News crews were in the Niles Canyon Road area doing a report on last night's ACE train derailment.
Right.
I mean, there were 14 people injured, four critically.
It's
one
really scary.
Remains in the hospital tonight. So, as, you know, television stations are one to do, they send out their morning reporters to go stand in the area and talk about what's going on. Well, what you're about to hear is a reporter by the name of Alex Savage. He's doing a live report, and this happens.
It was a chaotic and confusing situation for her.
Oh, wow.
Holy.
So that's the audio. The video, he's standing there giving the report, and you can hear that there's an accident, and he turns around, and this white car, looks like a Honda Civic, is barreling towards him. He jumps out of the way. The car goes right past the camera and crashes into something.
Were they live?
They were live.
Whoa.
They were on live television, my friend. And so he jumps out of the way because his photographer, Chip Vaughn, says, watch out. And I've known Chip for years, and he's, you know, those guys are usually on top of it. They're in a 7-Eleven parking lot, and Alex told us on the KGO Afternoon News that, you know, that area looks much more confined than it really was. He said it was a pretty wide open space and off the roadway. But what was really interesting, and he got emotional while he was talking about this this morning, Alex Savage is a father and a husband, and he told Brett and Sherry that, you know, he was grateful.
Well, I'm feeling grateful for sure. I've been feeling that way ever since this all happened this morning. I'm feeling very grateful to be here and to be unhurt and glad that Chip is okay. And, yeah, just feeling thankful, really, and taking some time to decompress.
Yeah.
Now, as you probably know, I did television for
a very
long time.
I was just going to ask you. I mean, the rule number one is the camera guy's got your back, right? Because
hopefully,
because, you know, you're looking into the camera, so you're not aware of your surroundings.
Yeah, and that's
it's
and
a strange thing.
It is, and there are a lot of very good camera people here in the Bay Area. I remember distinctly doing something on the side of a road and a car swerving, probably distracted, right for us, and, you know, I stepped out of the way. My photographer stepped out of the way. I mean, you've got to have your head on a swivel when you're out doing those things, especially with trap, because that's always a possibility.
Yeah, where those things can always happen, and they do. And they do.
Yeah. I've had more than one brush with the public.
What was it?
And
I'm sure you have. Last week, it was one of the reporters in the Midwest where the dog was humping his leg on the news on the live shot, and you know they had to go to a break. But you're right. You don't know.
Zoom in, photographer.
Right. No kidding. Christ. They went away. So I just think that. It's an amazing story, and I didn't get to see the video. I'm going to watch it. I'm sure it's viral. I did hear that it made the network news. So
check it out. We'll put it on the Facebook
KGO.
KGO right. Facebook page.
Right. And so, you know, you have another story about the CHP.
This is what you have to see this, but you can tell a lot from the audio. CHP officer in the Monterey area drives up on a woman with two young children in the back seat of her car. It was about 10 o'clock in the morning, and the car is smoking. This guy drives up, and there's a woman standing outside the car. He can hear children crying. Listen.
Here, send your kid. What are you doing? Come on. Come here! Your car's on fire!
Wow.
Okay, that is Officer Kaleo Sissold. This woman, and this really speaks to how people react in a crisis. This woman was frozen with fear.
Right.
I mean, I don't know a parent that would jump out of a car with a smoking car with two children inside, and there was another woman in the front seat who may have been a mother or a grandmother. But this woman was paralyzed. And the police officer goes and gets one child, and she's just standing there. And that's when he says, come over here, grab your child. He goes and opens the bag. The other side takes a child out of a car seat, a smaller child. There's a woman in the front seat who's sitting there. This car's not on fire yet. I mean,
it's heavily smoking,
though.
You can't
see flames, but it's smoking. It looks like
it's very close to blowing
because that's the precursor for that kind of thing. Needless to say, he was exasperated by the lack of urgency on the part of the people there. But, you know, you have to guess that they were paralyzed by fear. But, boy, kudos to that guy. But what a crazy situation.
It really is.
Frightening.
Okay. Well, there's a lot of crazy going on. So then there's the high-speed chase with the Scooby-Doo.
Scooby-Doo van? I've seen that.
The Scooby-Doo van. Yeah, so people have seen it. Oh, he's Scooby-Doo. Police in Redding, California went to arrest a 51-year-old woman named Sharon K. Terman on Sunday for violating her probation. And she led them on a high-speed chase in her 1994 minivan painted like the Mystery Machine in Scooby-Doo. At one point, she blew through a red light and almost crashed into four cars. And then she got on the highway, hit speeds over 100 miles an hour in that thing.
In the Scooby van.
In the Scooby van, and actually managed to get away with it, too. It's not clear if the cops stopped following her for safety reasons, but it sounds like she might have just lost them. A police helicopter did spot her ditching the van and taking off on foot. But as of last night, I don't know if they found her today
or
not.
Well, here's the deal. A lot of police agencies back off on high-speed pursuits. I mean, let's face it.
Yeah,
you kind of stick out like a sore thumb if you're driving around in the Mystery Machine. So, you know, she's probably in jail. But wow.
That's insane. Okay.
That's hilarious.
Okay, you ready to talk about basketball?
Oh, that. Yeah.
Okay.
Do we?
Lots of people throwing shade at Steph Curry.
Yeah, whatever.
Yeah. You know, he's bad at sports. And I talked a little bit about this last night, but now it's coming in.
Well,
in 100 miles an hour because the Chicago columnist who said that, it's bad for sports and he's ruining the NBA.
Yeah, the pencil neck.
Okay.
Right.
All right, let's take a break and we'll talk about it. That's coming up next on the Drex Radio Show on KGOA 10.
Talk radio to feed your brain. The Drex Radio Show, weeknights at 7 on KGO 810.
All right, strap yourselves in because here we go on the Drex Radio Show, live and local in the Bay and around the world at KGORadio.com. Lots of shade being thrown around when it comes to Steph Curry and the Dubs. This is Charles Barkley from Colbert last night.
for trash-talking Steph Curry and the Warriors.
Yes.
Saying that jump-shooting teams could not go all the way.
Yes.
And you were, last time I checked,
wrong. I was
about
very
that.
Wrong.
And
I was.
They made you a T-shirt, which you were good enough to wear.
Yeah.
That says, jump-shooting teams, national championships, jump-shooting teams won. Charles Barkley,
yeah,
zero.
I know. Yeah.
You know, nice of you to wear that.
Yeah, well, you know what? They have a terrific team. They've been great for the NBA. Mm-hmm. They've been great for the NBA.
You ready to jump on board this year because of the number one team this year? They're
and,
doing
hey,
great.
And I'm telling you right now, they're not going to win the championship this year.
Wow. That's strong.
Well, you know, Charles Barkley was another player who did more with less. As big as you think he is, he's just 6'4". But he's a spectacular athlete.
Okay,
he
so
did it a different way.
What the Tribune contributor Bernie Lindicombe decided, you know, was throwing shade yesterday and said the Warriors, you know, it's just the 3-point thing makes the game dull. And he said, let's start with the truth. The 3-point shot was created for people who don't play basketball, was made for people who couldn't grow tall enough, dribble well enough, drive hard enough, or move fast enough. And then he said, Steph, who he argues is dragging down the entire game of basketball with his penchant for the threes. What became a scratch became a rash and grew into his disease, and now it's an epidemic. 3-pointers are boring, they're overdone, they're meant for babies who aren't talented enough for big boy points like dunks. So, you know, they want to go back to the old...
Bernie's deluded. Bernie's the typical East Coast, Midwest sports columnist reporter who doesn't stay up late enough to watch West Coast basketball. If you watch the Golden State Warriors, you cannot watch that team and say they aren't talented. Steph Curry is a little guy. He's quick as all get out. He can shoot the ball from all over the court. He can take people like any of the best players in history, like Kobe, like Michael. I mean, he does what he wants out there. And you know what? People are going to hate what they don't understand. And in a place like Chicago where, you know, the sports is rough and tumble, you got the Blackhawks, you got
wow,
the
that's
Bears.
Right. Yes,
well,
I
the
know.
Bulls' greatness is behind them now.
Well, but you say, let's face it. Those people are living off of that greatness. I mean, that's what happens when you have a sports team.
I was there for 14 years, and I was waiting for something to happen. The you know.
Well, you know,
they had some great players, but you know, it just.
But to say Steph Curry's not one of the best players in the NBA, if not the best shooter in the world, I mean, they have to start guarding the guy at half court because he can literally pull up from anywhere and hit a shot.
Look, somebody has said this before. It's like the East Coast has a hard on for the Warriors because it's a different game. They want rough and tumble. They want dunking and hanging off the
well,
the hoops,
yeah, and
you know?
Who doesn't want dunking? We've got a guy in this newsroom, Suni Khalid, who moved west about a year ago. And he says, I'm so glad I'm here and that I get a chance to see this. And I go, what do you mean? He goes, man, nobody on the East Coast watches West Coast basketball.
No, they don't.
It's too late. They've got to go to bed and go to work. And I said, so what do you think? He says, I love it. And I said, how do you like rolling out of bed at 10 o'clock on a Sunday morning and watching football? He goes, I really like that.
It's the best, yeah.
But I mean, that's at the center of this. They don't. I mean, there was a kid down at Stanford
totally
who was
right
the best
that.
College football player in the country, Christian McCaffrey.
That's right.
But you want to know why
he
nobody knew
Heisman.
About him? Because the East Coast media didn't stay up and watch television. The guy's phenomenal.
Well, you know, it makes a lot of sense now that I've been here and back to the Bay for over a year. Yeah, that's why California is to itself. We are on our own planet. That's what the rest of the country thinks anyway.
And
so that's
right.
just fine. Yeah,
you're
you know,
right. Yeah,
it is a different planet.
I lived in Nashville for a while, and
right.
those people think that California is some far off planet.
Bat
might
crap
as well
crazy.
Be. Yeah,
yeah,
and other things.
And sometimes
and
maybe
nuts.
We are, but that's why we love it.
You know what? Yeah,
that's why we live
and
here.
Let live. That's why people come here.
Yeah,
they get left
know,
alone.
It's so funny. Now we're having all this rain, but people ask me all the time. So what's going on there with El Nino? I said, it's sunny and 72, like it always is. What's the weather like? Oh, it's sunny and 72 like it always is.
Or as my favorite country song goes, sunny and 75.
Well, it's not sunny in Philadelphia, and, you know, that's where I'm from. so, sunshine, where is the sunshine on the primary race tonight?
All right, so right now, Ted Cruz has been called the winner in Idaho. In the Republican primary there, Michigan and Mississippi, both of those states going to Trump tonight. And Hawaii closes their polls in their Republican primary at 10 o'clock. Earlier in the Democratic primaries, just two of them tonight. Michigan had Bernie Sanders winning a
That's
very
huge.
Close
That's
one there.
That's big.
And then Hillary Clinton easily taking Mississippi.
Well, yeah, that was a expected. 50-48% margin in Michigan, and it was Hillary won with like 80% of the vote in Mississippi.
It was really interesting today. I was watching Neil Cavuto on Fox, and he kept showing live shots of I don't know, somewhere in Detroit, I think it was, and also Mississippi, and no one was voting, and he was casting, you know, doubt on that again.
Oh, come on. No one was voting where their cameras were. Just
I know, but I don't know what the term, but there has been in the closed primaries where if you're registered Republican, you know, you have to vote Republican.
Right.
The turnout is smaller than open primaries where if you're a Democrat and you want to vote for Trump, then you can come in. And then in those states, huge amounts of people are crossing over. And, that's part of Donald Trump's power, and that's where he's winning a lot of this stuff. But I think it's huge that Bernie Sanders won tonight in Michigan.
There's still a big gap when it comes to delegates and superdelegates. But it is. That's an important
state. And Trump
took
Michigan, it's
all
a thing.
And the panic in the Republican Party grows deeper.
Isn't that crazy? Are we going to have the brokered convention in Cleveland? I think that we all hope so.
You know what? If that happens, the election come November might be an 80% victory for the Democrats. I mean, the Republican Party is not going to be able to go in there and essentially strip the nomination from Donald Trump and survive that.
Well, I think Donald Trump, he says he pays lip service to not wanting to run, but he very well could run if he feels like he gets
the snowball
job. You mean as
a third-party candidate?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, but you see, that's not going to benefit anybody but Hillary Clinton. They're going to have to go head-to-head if they have any hope of beating the Democrat in this race. That's my humble opinion.
And Mitt Romney, what is that mess with the robocalls?
That's what's happening.
Cow.
You know, the big movers and shakers in the Republican Party are starting to panic, and they're doing whatever they can do to try and swing the vote away from Donald Trump. I think that robocall was on behalf of Marco Rubio, gosh, it sounds like that's just the beginning.
Personally, if that's the case, I think that they waited until way too late to try to get in and get Trump out of the get him out of the way, essentially. Get him out of the running.
I don't think they realized what was happening in front of them.
Didn't take him seriously, and now all of a sudden they're faced with this behemoth.
Yeah, and if they think that Mitt Romney's going to come to their rescue in a brokered convention and they're going to pull his ass in there, that's not going to work.
He's
not even a candidate.
It'll be a disaster.
They can invite him in.
And that party's on thin ice as it is.
Okay, we got to take a break because you got to do the news. And that's coming up next what's coming up next after John Libertini in the news is the Late Night Late Show wrap-up on the Drex Radio Show on KGO 810.
This is at 7 on KGO 810.
You're listening to the Drex Radio Show on KGO 810, and if you don't vote for Trump or Hillary or Bernie or Cruz, maybe you can vote for Peyton Manning. How about that?
Peyton Manning retired from football.
I've received more letters from you than I can count.
So what's next for Peyton?
And moved me to act.
How about the White House?
What I'm talking about, all right, let's go.
A knowledgeable leader, adored by millions, and a proven winner.
Just keep fighting, right? Keep learning.
And he has plenty of money, so he can't be bought by lobbyists. So don't delay.
Hurry!
Campaigning all over the country.
Richmond, New York, Buffalo.
From the sheriff to commander-in-chief.
Truly honored and proud to be a part of it.
Peyton Manning for president 2016.
Omaha.
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 Well, Pittsburgh Steelers running back D'Angelo Williams doesn't think so. He's trash-talking today. He tweeted out, look, Peyton is a Hall of Fame quarterback, but he couldn't play dead in a Western last year. His career overall was astonishing, but last year was the poo emoji.
Well, he didn't have a great season last year.
Omaha.
I think that's for sure. And he's got the Nebraska vote if he runs for president.
How did D'Angelo Williams do last year? Not very well either.
I know, right?
Look who's talking.
Right.
Omaha.
But everybody's talking, I have family in Philadelphia. Trex, so good luck with the Chip Kelly thing because the whole talk was, I don't follow this that closely, But things were not cool in Philadelphia with Chip Kelly.
No, they definitely weren't. As a matter of fact, I think a few players that ended up just ended up leaving the team because they didn't want to be working under him there.
Yeah, and so did a lot of coaches and staff and other people because he's difficult to get along with. But, you know, you said, I don't follow this stuff that closely. Uh-huh. I'm not acclimated to all of that.
Oh yeah. You'll get there.
I know.
We'll make you a 49ers fan.
Well, what do you think? I mean, you were telling me off air, you know, this could be exactly what's needed.
Well, it could be. I mean, if he causes the same type of exodus that he created in Philadelphia with players wanting to leave and things like that. Listen, the 49ers had a bunch of players leave last year already. So they won 5 games, right, Ryan? 5 games last year?
Yeah.
So things have to pick up from here. They have to get better from here. There's no down. There can only be an up.
But I would think, you know, if you're on the 49ers staff, you knew all of this, you know, this stuff coming out of Philadelphia, and you would be on edge and, I don't know, a little unhinged.
Well, yeah,
about
but
all of this.
Also, there's got to be an element of let's see how this goes. Like, enough positive, you know, people are thinking positively because of what happened last year. There's been a change. Let's see if we can make this work.
Big change always, like, does something, too. Like, when the Harbaugh came in, that was a big change, and they started winning. So maybe Chip Kelly might bring in that change, and hopefully they'll start winning.
And hopefully they'll start winning, because that was, you know, one of the things when I moved back to the Bay. It's like, all right, you know, enough with the Bears, Let's go to 49ers town and win some football. It'll be fun.
Well, and you know, we have the Raiders right across the bay for now, and they did pretty good last year, so there's always hope for the Raiders.
I give the Raiders fans so much credit for sticking with them. I mean, my God, with the Mark Davis shenanigans. Nonstop.
Yeah, it's like, where are they going to move? Where are they going to move to L.A.? They're going to move out to San Antonio,
to Las Vegas. No, I think we'll stay here for a couple years. And then there's that haircut. All right, and then there's what happened today. Maria Sharapova failed a drug test, and here it is.
I wanted to let you know that a few days ago I received a letter from the ITF that I had failed a drug test at the Australian Open. I did fail the test, and I take full responsibility for it. I don't want to end my career this way, and I really hope that I will be given another chance to play this game. And I know many of you thought that I would be retiring today and announcing my retirement.
Not at 28.
But if I was ever going to announce my retirement, it would probably not be in a downtown Los Angeles hotel with this fairly ugly carpet.
Really ugly carpet. What she needs is a good spanking.
Good morning. The World Tennis Association has looked into the violations of Maria Sharapova, and after assessing the situation and studying her closely, we believe the best course of action is a firm, strong spanking. Bill won rock, paper, scissors. He's got her down on the court right now.
Oh, ow.
That's as loud as it
goes. Okay, on International Women's Day. Oh, well, that's a fact. I think the spanking would do. I don't know. It's really heavy-handed, man, I have to tell you. Her sponsors are taking a very aggressive stance. Now, she was found to have this drug, meldonium, in her system, which she's been taking for 10 years, and it was only declared to be illegal and doping, as things go, January 1st, okay? So before January 1st of 2016, it was totally cool. Now, she said she has a magnesium deficiency and a family history of diabetes, and the drug has long been thought to be used by athletes in Eastern Europe and Russia to boost endurance and help recovery. But, you know, she said that's what it was. And by the way, here's what is different. She had a prescription for this. So it wasn't like it was a street drug. Serena is standing by her today, said she's a friend, you know. But Nike, Tag, Porsche, and I think Evian, it looks like they're going to pull on her. Last year, you know, she made $29 million, but $23 million of that was from her endorsement deals. And earlier when I was talking to Lisa Durden, my activist, she wasn't having it. She's like, bye, boo. I just think it's, you know, just because she brought up all, especially when we got to, oh, who is the, Olympic.
Marion Jones,
yes.
Yeah, the sprinter in
right.
the Olympics.
Right.
She actually went to jail, but it wasn't because of her performance-enhancing drug use. It was because she perjured herself on the stand about it.
Well, I mean, you think of a lot of people, Lance Armstrong, Alex Rodriguez, Manny Ramirez, and Tiger Woods. That didn't have anything to do with drugs. But by the way, Nike held on to Tiger Woods.
Uh-huh.
You know, I mean,
well,
he's still got
that
deal. Well,
aside from betting on sports, and you could probably make an argument that taking performance-enhancing drugs is worse than betting on sports.
Well, I it's like they found it, and I guess it's been going on behind the scenes a little bit.
Yeah. It'd be interesting to see why they had this. It looked like, I'm sure it's a little bit more than a magnesium supplement that you're talking about. But
well, that's what they said it is.
Why would that be a performance enhancer? I'd like to hear more about that.
Well, and why did it just become illegal and it considered doping January 1st of 2016? Because they've been watching these things like a hawk for years.
And you would assume that had been around for a while. Yeah.
Well, yeah, for sure. So they knew she was taking it. I don't know. It's just, I can't say I feel bad for her, but a little bit of me is like, wow, you just like yank the carpet right out from under her.
Yeah, it seems pretty terrible.
Yeah. Again,
now,
she had a
Drex, if you could take a pill that would make you the greatest radio host ever, would you do it? Like if there was a performance enhancing radio pill.
I hope I already took it.
He's on
I
it,
hope
folks.
I'm limitless. Yes. All right. You're listening to the Drex Radio Show. We'll be back on KGO 810.
The Drex Radio Show, weeknights at 7 on KGO 810.
All right. Take it away, Mr. Colbert.
Starting today, the NYPD has announced they'll no longer arrest people for petty crimes like littering, public drinking, or urination. I'm a little concerned about the timing, though. Is it wise to lift restrictions on public drinking and urination 1 week before St. Patrick's Day?
I don't know about that one.
To all my viewers in New York, please seek high ground and start piling sandbags.
Oh, and guess who was behind that? That was Charles Barkley. It was dissing Steph Curry. Yeah, same show last night. All right,
boo.
Different time. Boo. Yeah, so the NYPD is lifting restrictions and on drinking in public and urination and all these lifestyle crimes. And, John Batchelor, if you listen to him, I don't know if he'll talk about it tonight, but, you know, he's on at 10 o'clock and he broadcasts from New York City. A lot of people aren't having it. It's the end. They're, you know, the Big Apple's going San Francisco.
Poor John. He's going to be tripping over things and slipping and sliding on the way to work.
Yeah. You know, it's like the homeless are moving to the Upper East Side, and that's just not sitting well with a lot of people. And public drinking, urination, it's just going
to
be a fine.
I mean, you have to come up with an answer,
crimes.
Though. You know, where are they going to go? You have to give them somewhere to go. And if you don't, I see easing the restriction as maybe a good thing for homeless folks.
Well, they want to go back to the days of stop and frisk, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And crime was reduced significantly, especially property crime and things like that. And some of those things, I'm not saying that, stop and frisk is a good idea for San Francisco, but, I mean, let's face it, the property crime here is insane. People breaking into cars and all of that. I mean, it's just all over the place. And
yeah, I mean, I used to work in retail and once a week, we used to get a customer coming into the store because they got their window busted out and their laptop or something else like that stolen from their car.
It happens all the time. All right, so let's take a listen to some crazy things that I have. Oh, in the good news department. So a high school orchestra in Omaha, of all places, put on a concert last week, and they asked the janitor to do a song with them. Apparently, he's known as a good singer, so. Now the school gathered around him and let him do his thing.
But now I think I'm able to carry on. It's been a long time coming, but I know change will come. Oh, yes, it
what's crazy about that? Change is going to come. I mean, that's pretty damn close to Sam Cooke.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
He's got some soul, that guy.
I know, right on. Good for him. Okay, then there's an elementary school teacher in South Carolina started a club for the boys in the school to teach them how to show manners and treat women with respect.
All right.
Once a week, they all dress up and wear ties to school, and they talk about what it takes to be a gentleman, which is all great. But unfortunately, the teacher named it Gentleman's Club.
Oh, can I join?
Right, exactly. I don't know what the problem with that is. Let's hear.
Gentleman is a nice person that helps people.
I was just thinking, well, maybe if I have to keep the boys dressed for success, so they look good, feel good, do good.
When
the
last
time you see somebody fighting in a tuxedo, and they like the reaction of walking out the classrooms, and everybody say, oh, you look so nice, you look so handsome. So they just love it.
It makes me feel like a gentleman.
They have a lot of questions on how to be a gentleman.
We're learning proper etiquette, manners.
How to open up the door for ladies. Treat ladies with kind and stuff.
And I know a lot of them struggle because a lot of them don't have men at home. So I just want them to grow up and think of the things that I teach them and just to have the great social skills so they can succeed. They perform well when they realize that someone cares about them.
Well, good for, what's his name? Raymond Nelson. Let's say it. Good for him. And who cares if it's called a gentleman's club?
Sounds like a great program.
It's a club for gentlemen.
Yeah.
Yes, young gentlemen. Jeez. All right, now the bad news. Another reason not to binge drink. It's going to give you a heart attack or a stroke. Now, this is all over the road, so it kind of annoys the hell out of me. Binge drinking at least 6 cocktails in one night may raise your risk of a heart attack or stroke over the following week, this research shows, released today. Even one drink was associated with higher odds of heart attacks over the next 24 hours, the analysis also found. However, people who have 2 to 4 alcoholic beverages may actually experience a lower risk of heart attack and stroke over the next week than those who have no such drinks. So the impact of alcohol on your risk of heart attacks and strokes depend upon how much and how often you drink. So,
oh my
get
goodness.
This. I know this is all over. It sounds like it's all over the road, but it's not. Here we go. Yes. Habitual moderate alcohol consumption is associated with the lower risk of heart disease in both sexes. But the amount of alcohol associated with cardiovascular benefits is lower amongst women than men. This is consistent with public health recommendations that advise consumption of no more than 2 drinks per day, blah, 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 blah. Okay, so, but, you know, so what they're saying is if you drink a few drinks all the time, it's no big deal. It's when you don't drink and then you go out and you get hammered.
Yeah.
In the next 24, 48 hours to a week, you have a much higher rate and possibility of having a heart attack or a stroke.
The gluttony that gets you every time.
Right. Right. So, you know, if you're somewhat of if you're hitting the booze on a regular, and I think the bottom line is if your body's used to it processing a moderate amount of alcohol,
yeah,
it's not a problem. But if you're a teetotaler and then you go out and get smashed once a week or every 2 weeks or whatever you do.
Well, you should probably rethink your drinking habits if that's the case. It sounds like to me, God.
We should probably all go get a drink.
I'd like to do that. All right. On that note, let's say goodnight and have a good evening. And the John Batchelor Show is next. And we'll make more tomorrow on the Drex Radio Show on KGO 810.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.